Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Our sermon text for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the book of Acts, chapter 10, verses 34 to 38. Then Peter began to speak. "Now I really am beginning to understand that God does not show favoritism, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. He sent his word to the people of Israel, proclaiming the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, because God was with him. Lord, these are your words, and therefore they are your truth. We ask that you'd increase our faith through them. Amen." Dear fellow redeemed, this morning we are taking up the theme, Anointed by God, and we are going to talk about how Jesus was anointed, but also ourselves as well. However, before we get to that, I think it's good for us to talk about what anointing is. So in the Old Testament, we hear of these examples of God sending his representative to go and to pour oil, olive oil mixed with a few other elements as well, upon the heads of certain individuals that he wanted to designate for his specific purpose and specific roles. We maybe think of individuals like David, who was anointed by the prophet Samuel at his father's house. He was to be the next king in Israel, and so Samuel poured that oil over his head. Or maybe we can think about how God directed Moses to anoint his brother Aaron and his sons to be priests in Israel. We can also think about how God directed Elijah to anoint Elisha to be the next prophet. So we see these examples of God sending his representatives, usually prophets, out to go and to pour oil on the heads of individuals to show that they are his chosen one to go and carry out specific roles. Let's first think about Jesus. We're so used to referring to Jesus as Jesus Christ, aren't we? And that's not unusual for us. I mean, us in America today, we also have two names as well, right? We refer to people by a first and last name, don't we? Like Matthew Moldstead, right? It's a way to show that I am this specific Matthew and not a different one. But back in Jesus' day, 2,000 years ago, they didn't use last names the way that we do today. In fact, the way they designated separate individuals, they usually talk about whose son an individual was or where they came from. Think about James, the son of Zebedee, or Mary Magdalene, this Mary who was from Magdala, right? We think of this example even in our lesson for today. Jesus is called Jesus of Nazareth as well. And so when we talk about Jesus Christ, we're not really using a first name and a last name, but Christ is actually his title. He is the Christ. What does that mean? Well, it refers to him as the Anointed One. In fact, it's the Greek translation of a word that's used in the Old Testament to refer to the Anointed One, the Messiah. And so when we talk about Jesus Christ, we're talking about Jesus as the Messiah. He's the one that God had foretold who would come to save his people from their sins, the Anointed of God. But if there's such a stress on the Messiah being the Anointed One, don't you think it's important for us to know when Jesus was anointed? That's something we maybe don't focus on much as we think about the life of Christ, but it seems like a pretty significant detail. If Jesus is to be the Anointed One, when did that happen? We see it so clearly in our lesson for today. We see in all of our lessons, really, that Jesus was anointed at the time of his baptism. And how so? Maybe we can envision Jesus as he's in the Jordan River, having John take a shell or a cup or something and pour the water over his head. And we can think about that water anointing Jesus at his baptism. But our text is very clear. What does it state? God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. It says that the way that Jesus was anointed at his baptism was with God the Holy Spirit coming upon him. And don't we clearly see that in both our Old Testament and gospel lesson, that God had foretold that he was going to place his Spirit upon his servant. And then in the gospel lesson, we hear that after Jesus is baptized, the Holy Spirit descends in the form of the dove and rests upon him. And so it's crystal clear that Jesus is the anointed of God, right? And why? Well, part of that purpose of anointing was to designate certain individuals. This one is selected by God so that they themselves would know that they are chosen for a specific work, but so everyone else would know as well. And Jesus himself, did he really need to know that he was chosen of God? Wouldn't he have known that already as God? Wasn't it more important that everyone else knew? And everyone else did know. As we see that John the Baptist and those at the Jordan River must have been wowed and amazed by the Holy Spirit descending upon Jesus, anointing him, but also the voice of heaven from heaven, "This is my Son whom I love, am well pleased with him." In fact, this was such a big thing that Peter himself references to it in our text for today as he's speaking to Cornelius, as he's saying that these things happened, and afterward Jesus began carrying out his ministry. So what purpose was Jesus anointed for? You know, in the Old Testament, we think about these individuals anointed as prophets, priests, and kings, but really Jesus was anointed into all three of those roles. We think about the Messiah as foretold as the Son of David who would come, who would reign upon his throne forever, and Jesus was certainly from the line of David, even according to his humanity. Though he was more than that. As Peter declares in our lesson for today, he is Lord of all. And Jesus shows that he is Lord of all, that he is King of all, even after he is anointed as he carries out these amazing miracles, not the least of which was the casting out of demons from individuals, as Peter mentions in our lesson for today. Jesus certainly is anointed as King, and he continues to carry out that role today as he rules all things for the good of his church. But Jesus was also anointed as prophet. In the Old Testament, God foretells that the Messiah is going to be a prophet who is going to come, who is going to be greater than Moses. And he says this of him, "I will put my words in his mouth, and he will speak to them everything that I command him. Anyone who will not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name, I myself will call him to account." You see, God had foretold that the Messiah also would proclaim his word and that everyone must listen to it. And if they don't listen to his word, if they don't believe his word of salvation that he proclaims, well, God is going to hold them to account. And we see this in our lesson for today too, right? Peter testifies that God sent his word to the people of Israel, proclaiming the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, right? He's that prophet, proclaiming God's word of peace and salvation, and not just for Israel, but really for all. Finally, Jesus was also anointed as priest. In Psalm 110, it says this of the Messiah. It says, "You are a priest forever in the manner of Melchizedek." So he also was to fulfill the role of priest. And what does a priest do? In the Old Testament times, God would appoint priests to be a go-between between sinful mankind and the perfect and holy God. And the priest would offer prayers and he would offer sacrifices on behalf of the people to God. And then he would turn around and reassure the people that through sacrifice, through atonement, they were right with God. They had peace with God. And we hear about Jesus in the scriptures that it says that there is one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. Not only is he our mediator, he's the perfect priest in this way. He also is the one who is the perfect sacrifice, who lays down his life for all, for the sins of all, to make atonement for all, that through him we have eternal life and salvation. So we see clearly, don't we? Jesus is the anointed one, anointed by God, anointed into these roles of prophet, priest, and king. What about us? We too are anointed by God. But when did that happen? Well, don't think too hard about it. Remember Jesus was anointed at his baptism, wasn't he? We think about that baptism that we just saw this morning as Lakin was baptized. And we think about what took place as Pastor Weekman poured the water over Lakin's head. Didn't it look like an anointing as that water was poured upon her head? And what did that signify? God was signifying, this one is mine. Lakin is mine. As he placed his name upon her, as she was baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, right? And God hasn't just done that for Lakin, but he has done that for us too. Us who have been baptized in his name. He has said, this one is mine. I have chosen you. I have anointed you as my own. And so we can be reassured that we are chosen of God, anointed by God at our baptisms, but also through faith as well too, right? You know, right after our lesson for today, as Peter proclaims the good news of salvation to Cornelius and these other Gentiles, they show that they have faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior. They show that they are chosen by God as they begin to speak in tongues and as they begin to proclaim the praises of God. Well, God hasn't promised that all who have faith are going to speak in tongues. But he has said this in his word. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And so even as we proclaim Jesus is Lord, as we proclaim our faith, we also can know that we are chosen by God and we have been anointed. Anointed not simply by water, but anointed with the Holy Spirit. Think about what Peter said to the Pentecost crowd, right? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what God has anointed us with. In our baptisms, he's given us the gift of the Holy Spirit who brings faith into our hearts. But the reality is that none of us deserve this, right? Jesus deserved the title of anointed one. Jesus deserved to be chosen and anointed by God because he was God and he was his perfect son, right? But not us. We've been disobedient children, haven't we? We haven't desired to follow God's word and God's commands and haven't followed them perfectly. We don't deserve to be chosen by God. We deserve to be rejected by him. But God has chosen you. God has anointed you because of his grace and mercy. And really only because of his grace and mercy. Not because of anything you have done or not because of any goodness in you, but because God is good. That's why he chose you. Because he wanted to save broken people like you and me. He wanted to rescue us from our sin and he wanted to make us his very own. For what purpose? Certainly to give us the gift of heaven. But there's more. He's chosen us as his holy people to serve out his purpose even here and now. Think about what Peter wrote in his first epistle. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, the people who are God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Aren't those awesome words? What does Peter say? He says that we are royalty. And that we will inherit the kingdom of heaven. He says that we are a priesthood. And that we can go before the Father with any request because of faith in Jesus, who has won that right for us. But we also are chosen to proclaim the wonders that God has done for us. How he has brought salvation into our lives, into our hearts. But there's more. The scripture also says, Jesus gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness, to purify for himself a people who are his own chosen people, eager to do good works. He has given us that purpose as well, not merely to proclaim the wonders he has done, but to live out his love in our lives, to show his love to the world. You know, I mentioned before that we have really been anointed by the Holy Spirit, and it is the Holy Spirit who produces in us fruits of faith. As the apostle writes, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. God is producing those things in you, whether you know it or not. He's producing those fruits in you as signs to the world. This is my chosen one. This is my child. See how they love each other. See how they love those in the world. See the good works that they produce. These also are signs, signs to the world. And so we can ask ourselves, how can we show that we are God's children in our own lives? How can we show that we are God's children in our families, in our marriages, at school, at work, in our relationships, in the world? How do we do that? What opportunities does God give to show his love to others? There are so many. And it's God, the Holy Spirit, that produces these things in us, not to earn heaven, but because heaven is already ours, because God has already chosen us as his own in Christ. Anointed by God, well, we certainly see that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the anointed one, as the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove, as he descended upon him to indicate that he was the one who was entering that role of prophet, priest, and king as he would carry out his earthly ministry. But also God has anointed you as well with his Holy Spirit. He has chosen you as his own dear child through baptism, through water and the word. And he has given you the gift of faith by his Holy Spirit to carry out his good purposes of proclaiming the good news of salvation to the world, and also to showing his love to those around you. Amen. I invite the congregation to please rise. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen.